To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two public hearings this evening. The first item of business is a public hearing on a conditional use permit for town pump. And I think we'll start before we get public hearing or public comment, and everybody will have a chance to comment. Prior to that, we'll have a staff report from Forrest Mandeville, who's a contract zoning administrator.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. So you have a conditional use permit in front of you. You should have a staff report on that as well. This was submitted by Performance Engineering on behalf of Columbus One RE2 LLC. This conditional use permit is to develop a town pump on property located within the Highway Commercial Zoning District. Property is located south of the current town pump on the south side of 8th Avenue in the current truck parking area. You can see the legal description there on your staff report. The Columbus Zoning Ordinance states that a truck stop may be permitted as a conditional use in the Highway Commercial Zoning District. This town pump would replace the current town pump. The facilities on the current site are proposed to be removed, repaved to match grades, and used for parking. The new location is proposed to contain facilities typical of this type of development, so gas station, truck stop, convenience store, fuel islands, casino, that type of stuff, kind of the same thing as the current location. There is section 1796-160 of the zoning ordinance that says essentially any person desiring to use any premises or erect, construct, or alter new or existing buildings or structures for use as a bar, tavern, lounge, or a commercial establishment that serves alcoholic beverages as a primary accessory use is part of this conditional use permit, but also must be 600 feet property line to property line, measured in a straight line, from any school, playground, public park, public recreation area, church, or other public buildings. So the subject property is within 300 feet of Granite Peak Park. So there will need to be a variance for the casino and liquor store component of the proposed development. It's my understanding, talking to the applicants, talking to the engineer, that application is forthcoming. So depending on action tonight, the variance application would follow. Under the zoning ordinance, the city council shall, after a public hearing at which the staff report such as this is read and public comment taken and after duly considering the matter, either approve or deny the application. And you may make granting of the conditional use permit subject to reasonable limitations or conditions as you deem necessary to enhance the appearance of the property or reduce any adverse effects on nearby property or residences, to preserve the character of the area, or to make it more acceptable in other ways. If the application is denied, you do have to give reasons for the denial. You have to adopt some type of finding explaining that reason. There are findings in the staff report that run through the criteria that are in your zoning regulations for the granting of the conditional use permit. So the conditional use permits cannot adversely affect public health, safety, general welfare of the community. It has to conform to the objectives of the master plan, rural policy, and the intent of the chapter. So this proposed development will replace a similar existing use. There should be minimal additional impacts on the health, safety, and general welfare other than what would have already occurred as part of the current use. The development of new building, fuel islands, and the abandonment repurposing of the current site may allow for the enhancement of some existing traffic patterns. Traffic Impact Study, or TIS, was prepared and submitted to the Montana Department of Transportation for their system impact action process. That was done by 406 Traffic and Transportation Consulting. The TIS concluded that Town Pump's proposal to effectively swap uses of land to the north and south of East 8th Avenue in Columbus has been examined with respect to trip generation, intersection operations analysis, and other potential traffic effects. The method of estimating trip generation, adjacent roadway volume was selected from multiple available options based on its clear superiority in terms of accurate approximation of existing trips from the existing Town Pump facility. Intersection analysis based on the latest edition of the HCM indicates that all five intersections analyzed would operate at a level of service B or better in both peak hours after the project is fully open. No new turn lanes would need to be considered on Montana 78 at either site access intersection as a result of the project. Finally, the proposed modification of the south access to the site opposite East 6th Avenue would improve truck turning access by minimizing the potential need for trucks leaving the site to cross the Montana 78 centerline as part of their turning maneuver. There are no off-site traffic-related modifications required or recommended. Correspondence with MDT has indicated that reorienting the approach to the site from North Vine Street or Highway 78 to line up with the approach into the Apple Village, Airstone Cafe, Montana Rustic Accents parking lot will be required by MDT. It appears that that requirement is reflected in the traffic impact study, as well as the site plan submitted by the engineer. It is recommended, though, that adherence to MDT's permitting and requirements be one of your conditions of approval. The chief of police, Uther, noted that based on the preliminary plan, looks like the development will better accommodate semis getting on and off the interstate, lessening traffic congestion at 8th Avenue and North 9th Street or Highway 78. And Chief Cowger noted that the building will need to be sprinkled under the state building code requirements. If you have questions about that, I'd suggest asking the chief. The use cannot adversely affect nearby properties or their occupants. This proposal will essentially swap uses between the current truck parking area and the Town Pump store. Any additional impact should be relatively minor and or have already occurred with the development of the Town Pump. Traffic patterns will change in the area somewhat. Additional traffic will likely shift south to utilize the approach from North 9th Street or Highway 78. The site does border residential uses on the southeast. The zoning code requires commercial parking areas be screened from adjacent residential property. The landscape plan provided by the applicant indicates that landscaping and screening in the form of granite boulders and a composite fence will be provided. The stormwater detention pond is planned for the southeast corner of the property, which will also provide a buffer between the parking area and residential property. As I noted, a variance will be necessary to allow the casino and liquor store component of the development to be located within 600 feet of a public park. Development is required to be in compliance with the municipal code. One question I had from some people was how close this would be to Sherwood Park, and it's a long ways from Sherwood Park, as it reflects. So it's not within 600 feet from that park. Such use has to meet density, coverage, yard, height, and other regulations for the district in which it will be located, unless otherwise provided. Highway commercial zone allows the entire property to be occupied by the principal and accessory use, except for a 20-foot front yard, 10-foot rear yard, and 8-foot side yards. And any parking requirements have been met as well. So the setback requirements do appear to be met. The maximum height allowed is 32 feet. The architectural plan submitted to the city indicated that the building will be a maximum height of 31 feet at the parapet. Parking and loading requirements appear to be met. The zoning ordinance requires one parking space for every 300 feet of floor area. Proposed building is about 20,500 square feet, so it would require about 69 parking spaces. The site plan shows 58 car parking spaces, including a couple of ADA spaces, and 25 truck parking spaces. That's all on site, which exceeds the minimum requirements. There are also 23 fueling islands, which could accommodate another 46 vehicles. And yes, I counted them multiple times.
That's just for, I'm sorry, and that would be just for the north side of 8th?
This is
on the south side. Or is that the entire?
South side.
Or I'm sorry, on the south side of 8th.
Correct.
Okay.
So that does not include additional parking that would be provided on the north side of 8th once the current site is repurposed.
Okay.
Public hearing has to be held. That's what you're doing today. You may make the granting of a conditional use permit subject to reasonable limitations or conditions, as I mentioned. Conditions may include, but are not necessarily limited to, a time period within which the proposed structure shall be erected, requiring landscaping or fencing and maintenance thereof, requiring the surfacing and marking of off-street parking and loading areas, requiring special health or safety precautions be taken, or any other conditions as will make possible the development of the city in an orderly and efficient manner and in conformity with the intent and purposes set forth in your zoning title. So I'm recommending approval of the town pump conditional use permit. There is a typo on page, top of page 7. I apologize, but please know I'm being consistent. Copy and paste. So I'm recommending approval subject to at least 7 conditions. Condition number 1 that I'm recommending is development shall adhere to the requirements of the Montana Department of Transportation. Number 2, a variance to allow the liquor store and casino within 600 feet of a public park shall be obtained prior to operation of a liquor store or casino. And if the variance is not obtained, the liquor store and casino components are not allowed as part of this conditional use permit. Number 3, development of the truck stop and associated uses shall be in substantial compliance with the application of plans submitted with the conditional use permit application. Parking, landscaping, etc. shall be constructed as shown on the submitted material. Maintenance is a responsibility of the landowner. Number 4, all requirements of the Columbus Municipal Code, including the zoning ordinance, shall be met and development shall remain in compliance with all codes and requirements as applicable. Number 5, development shall adhere to any requirements of the Columbus Public Works Department for water, sewer, access, and drainage provisions as applicable. Number 6, any and all other permits required by other city, state, or federal agencies shall be obtained and adhered to at all times. And number 7, the failure to abide by the restrictions and conditions of the conditional use permit shall be adequate grounds for the city council to revoke the conditional use permit in order that the conditional use be discontinued within 30 days of the revocation of the conditional use permit. Mr. Mayor, council members, that concludes the staff report, and I am available for any questions.
Thank you.
Not on the public hearing for comment. If you have a comment, please state your name and give your comment. So you have a comment?
Does that include questions, Mayor? Questions or questions?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Beth Ann Steffen. I live at 1009 Falls Creek Drive. So when we think about where it's located, that empty field south of this is minus the big green split level. So probably a question maybe for you is with the MDT part, do you think that that's going to include then a reduction of speed on 8th Street? Right now it's 45 from the time you come off the interstate, it stays 45. Do you think that they'll probably reduce that speed then also so it goes to 35? Is that a Montana Department of Transportation question? How could we go about looking at that? So that would be a question rather than have it be, have people kick up to 45, knowing that the turn lane would be different there. And then I love what they're putting in place for that southeast corner. There is already, you know, mature trees. Is there a way that we can find out whether or not those trees will still remain as well as the trees that are along the alley? And then the possibility that maybe some, kind of for that natural buffer along with the rock. I know they're planning that composite fencing, but it would be awesome if where the trees are, they could keep those and then consider filling in, you know, where those trees aren't on that alley side. And then as well, where it butts up next to Yellowstone Bank owns that lot. Where it butts up on the south side would be great. There's already the big trees on the corner and then a couple of Russian olives that are good size. It would certainly make a nice natural buffer for sound, exhaust, dust. I think it's going to be, just for me personally, because I'm, you know, pretty impacted by that, I could see it be a very good situation. Those would just be two things I would love for Town Pump to consider, as far as those natural barriers where existing trees already are. And then, and I'm happy to do some legwork on it. How can we make sure that the speed on, is it 8?
Nine,
is reduced, so people aren't, you know, picking up speed before that turn. So those would be my questions or comments. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think I was very calm.
I did.
Give the chair up. What do you think, Ryan?
Ooh, wake up.
What part?
Can I make a comment? I just want to make a comment on the, as a person of public hearing.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm Webb Anvilman, and I live at 1008 Falls Creek Drive. Beth Ann and I are neighbors. And one of my first questions is the traffic pattern. It appears that you're going to encourage, you're going to try to get truckers to come in on 9th Street and turn in front of the Apple Village and access the gas pump kind of from the southwest rather than coming in on 8th Avenue like they do now and form that perfect malfunction junction with people trying to come out and go in. Am I correct? They're going to try to get them to come in?
Yeah.
So how do you train truckers to quit going down 8th and get them to come on down to that next turn?
Mainly, when we talk about the traffic engineer, it's you have to make it as easy as possible for them to get in there. Yeah. So having a wider approach possibly some signage, but mainly you having it easier for people, for those truckers to get to that site and having that wider approach to the south is helpful. I mean, of course, there's the truckers that run routes through here all the time, and so they get kind of trained by using the same facilities over and over again. I guess they're still, obviously some of them are still going to make their way down 8th on occasion, but kind of the natural, the trucking fuel station is almost a little bit hidden behind the facility, so having a real obvious place to turn that's along 9th Street to encourage the truckers to come into the south approach.
My other comment, I'm not trying to start a neighborhood war here, but those trees along, there is no 10th Street. North of 4th Avenue North, there's no 10th Street. There's an alley there that actually GPS thinks is 10th Street, but it's a narrow alley that's not paved. And if you guys have seen it, you know what it's like. Those trees along that alley are all volunteer. They're a mess. The large cottonwoods that are in the southeast corner are not maintained by anybody. When they blow over, they're going to land on my house. I don't care if you take them out. I'm looking forward to that barrier fence on the east side. I would like to see something on the other boundary, the south boundary, other than a barbed wire fence or nothing. Something that delineates the property. That's my comment. Any other comments?
So I was just wondering, my builder's club goes over and cleans up the area by that, and it is filled with trash from Town Pump where it's at right now. And it just seems like it blows over, it's into those storage sheds and those areas. Is there going to be any type of a buffer that's going to keep all of the trash that's coming off from the Town Pump facility from blowing into the neighborhoods that are adjacent to it to the east?
There will be. There will be a keystone block wall along the alley, and then on top of that will be a 6-foot solid composite fence, so it's like a Trex fence, so it looks like wood but doesn't rot. And that is there to buffer sound headlights as well as that.
Okay. Does that run that entire east border, or where does it?
It does, yes.
It does, okay. Yeah. That answers my question.
Webb, is that where you were thinking something like that on the south side?
Maybe not quite to that extent. Something would just delineate the change of ownership. I don't think it needs to be, that'd have to be 8 feet high, but a 4-foot high fence or something just to delineate the property. They don't have too much problem with garbage blowing north to south coming off of that lot.
Just some landscaping or something.
Sound headlights, though, might be great, like you're saying.
Lots of garbage goes west to east, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm not opposed to putting a fence along the south side there. Would you rather, one of my trepidations when we were laying that out was, if I put a fence on the south side, all you see is a composite fence you don't see. Would you rather a landscape buffer? I guess what I'm asking is, would you rather that fence on the north or the south side of that detention pond there? Because we put it on the north side closest to the parking, that may buffer headlights, et cetera, a little better. Plus, it gives you guys a little bit of transition from that into that lot that Yellowstone Bank owns with some greenery in there as well. So I'm certainly open to either of those ideas.
And I can't help also just think that safety part too, a fence is a good deterrent for keeping people out of the neighborhood.
You bet. And we can certainly even, in fact, Craig and I were talking just a minute ago, we can do a fence on the north side of that stormwater detention pond and then go to the south along the top of that pond and even put in some trees or something there to help delineate that area.
That would look nice.
That would look
and
nice.
I sure see your point on the east side where those trees wouldn't be necessary anymore because of your description of the wall on the east side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
You bet. Yeah, we'll make sure we
incorporate that. I just maybe had a question more for Forrest. You said MDT didn't recommend a turning lane, even with the intersection of Diamond and 9th, Apple Village, and now the new access to Town Pump. Because as of now, we all know that when there's 3 or 4 semis backed up, traffic don't go anywhere. Does not go anywhere on 9th, especially heading into town.
Councilman, the traffic impact analysis that was presented to MDT and that MDT looked at did not indicate that a turn lane would be required. And I asked.
You had the same concern.
Yeah, so I was wondering too if it was going to be a turn lane, but I guess you could shoot down.
You mean drive on the.
North Diamond?
Yeah, but you still have that North Diamond intersection, and then you're going to have the new Town Pump. They're going to be like this. Like here.
But if the traffic's bad, just to turn into Town Pump.
The design change.
You can't, because then you have to turn into Diamond.
We've had.
They don't take 2 semis.
Semis come through depending on the GPS.
Going into town.
Just trying to get to the parking lot.
No, it's up to
the. They end up in the Def and yard, or they end up in our yard, they get backed into our vehicle.
Right here.
If there's a couple semis backed up here, traffic backed up, you can shoot into here.
No, we get 2 here, they're going to be backed up behind you. Or 3. And a couple of cars in there, you're never going to get into 9th. Or into Diamond anyway.
You're looking for like directional signage on the lot to kind of keep them from wandering off course?
Yeah.
We can certainly.
Just your design change might help out. If they tell me we're looking for a place to park overnight, and if they're going to be parking overnight on the north side of 8th Street, we shouldn't have a problem.
You bet, but it doesn't hurt to put in some directional signage and see if we can't keep them directed in the right way, because it will be a change from what they're doing today, so we'll definitely do that.
Any other comments?
There's quite a slope difference. You come out of what you're showing the parking lot.
So.
And 9th Street. How is that going to be remedied because of when it turns slick?
You bet. So we were actually filling that lot. What is it down on that side? Close to that.
It's 4 feet.
4 feet. So we're going to bring that up and lessen that, that slope coming in and out from 9th there.
Oh, yeah.
MDT only allows us to have only a couple percent slope on any approaches off of their facilities when we do those. So we have to flatten it out. So it's not so much great.
And it's back to training truck drivers. Right. I've been one for a lot of years, and I think I'm a halfway decent one. But we've got a lot of them out there that they don't speak English. Are they going to understand what's going on? And I don't know how you remedy it. I don't have an answer to it, but it's just you're dealing with.
Agreed. And the nice part about this is if they, even if they do come in on 8th as they currently do today because they're used to that, with this new layout, right now they come in on 8th and they make an immediate left. With this new layout, even if they went down and tried to come into the fuel islands the wrong way, there's more room there to get off of that intersection and clear that out. And that likely is going to happen for the first little while after this is rebuilt. But I think we'll better accommodate it. It'll be a far better situation than what's up there at existing.
Yeah.
That brings up my question is, what? Why did you decide to come around that way and instead of going the opposite? Coming in on 8th and coming to the fuel pumps?
Well, we can certainly bring them in on 8th as well. In fact, we did look at that. The only issue or fear we had with that was if the fuel islands, and I say if because it's a better layout, more convenient layout that should get them in and out quicker, but if those back up, I didn't want them. I know in the past in several conversations the city has said that as they're trying to get traffic down to the hospital, that can be a right risk through there. And so I want to keep them off that and open it up to ensure that we can get that traffic down that roadway into the hospital as best we can.
So that was your reasoning for going in that
correct
direction? All right. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, I broke my rules right at the beginning. Would you state your name for...
You bet, sorry. I'm Dan Sampson. I'm the Director of Construction Development for Town Pump.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, Scott Graham, I'm a construction project manager for Town Pump.
Are you the manager for this project?
No, I'll be managing this one here.
And the engineer?
I'm Craig Dalton with Performance Engineering. I'm a consultant.
Okay. Is there any other public comment? Any other public comment?
Mr. Mayor, do you want me to address the speed limit thing?
If you have the information.
I can offer some experience from it, at least. It wasn't a Town Pump project, but another C-store. It's outside of Townsend, and they had a similar concern coming into Townsend. So we did start that process with MDT, and ultimately what has to happen for those speed changes is it really has to be initiated by, like, in Townsend, it was right outside of Townsend, so it's the county commissioners that had to initiate the process. If it's in Columbus, it might be this council that would initiate it. And you effectively, what they do is they put in a request to MDT for a speed study. MDT doing anything quickly is kind of unheard of, so, you know, it's going to take a good chunk of time, but they'll come, they'll get on their list, they'll do a speed study. And so it's really an MDT operated thing, but it's initiated by a city or county within that jurisdiction. So in that case, it ultimately got dropped from, I think, because it was like 75 at Townsend, so they ended up dropping it, moving that 45 limit out of town. It's that Rocky Mountain Supply, I don't know if anybody's driven, that's the place they did it for. So that's how you can get the speed looked at. And they'll do it. Sometimes it turns out it's really based on how fast people drive.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. No, that's
right. They study it and they say 80% of the people drive 50 miles an hour, and that's right within where we feel
that's what it's going to be.
The speed limit is, and so they just carry on. So, unfortunately, it's kind of just they follow what the habits of us creatures are when it comes to that stuff. So, it's not always as fruitful as you hope.
It has been a while since we've requested that, so it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the. Thanks, Craig.
Yes.
I'd like to see the project get done and see if we have a problem.
Yeah, maybe the people will slow down, see, and then when they come in, and then, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I declare the public hearing closed. I'd open a new public hearing on the City of Columbus budget amendment. Is there any comment on the budget amendment? Any public comment on the budget amendment? Any public comment on the budget amendment? Public hearing closed. On to the agenda. We have before you the minutes of the October 7th meeting. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections? Okay, motion for approval.
Make a motion. We approve the minutes as written.
Motion by Paul.
I'll second.
Second by Rick. Dannon?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Finn?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion passes. Entertain a motion for approval of the liquid shutoffs.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Rick.
Second.
Second by Dennis. Any discussion? Dannon?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Finn?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Entertain a motion for approval of claims.
I'll make that motion for approval of claims.
Motion by Finn.
No, second.
Second by Cole. Any discussion? Rick?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Dannon?
Yes.
Motion passes. There's no petitions or communications. We'll go on to officer reports. Chief Goddard?
Didn't have a chance to get you a written report, but verbally I can say last week on Wednesday they had the fire prevention week open house. Had some burgers and some displays and activities for the kids, so they had a good turnout there. And call volume wise, we're still running. Probably peak calls were set a record at about, well, the trends continue, probably over 1,100 calls per year, which is an all time high for what we've ever seen or done. So those trends continue and the folks stay busy. So, in the report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Chief Duke is a training session and you have a written report.
He didn't provide
any.
No
report. Very well.
And I just had the two things I put in there, getting to know from you guys how you want to proceed when it comes to applying for grants, rural grants, municipal and block grants, our rural resource planning grants, stuff like that. It can help some of the reports when we have them. Yes, sometimes they can cost you money. That's why I included the email from Interstate to see the success rate. And yeah, sometimes you don't, and you might lose $5,000 applying for it. But usually the next year you might get it. But most of the time when you put into these, any free money is better than no free money. And you can use them toward our favorite billing subject, which is engineering. So just how you guys want that handled, if you want. Come in, say, hey, this grant's coming up, you guys want to apply for this, what we can use it for, or a lot of times, like the ones closing here pretty quick on November 1st, that was kind of how the grant started. I was unaware of the process, so I originally said, well, yeah, let's put in for some money, but then backed it up so we could answer this question as to how you guys want to proceed when we do those things.
This is a national.
Right.
It's not a
national. Yeah, it's usually if we come up, like if we want to redo the CIP, that's when we would, you know, apply for some kind of grant or something.
That was my next. Was that so? Is this, if when you apply for a grant, do you already have to have something in place and knows where it's going. You just can't apply for the grant and throw it in the bank, right?
Right. Sometimes, but there's also a commitment. If you get awarded the grant, some of them have you commit 25% of whatever you get, or 10%, whatever. It just depends. But yes, there's it's a fee for somebody to apply for that grant, and it's a roll of the dice sometimes. So, but sometimes they do come up, and they're short notice when you find out about them. So.
Well, how are they finding out about them?
They have a grant writer that trolls every website that offers anything out there. They can do it. And so that's how I usually get informed.
Gotcha.
And I don't see them as well. But there's usually just the same repetitive ones. The Rural Planning Grant, the Colon Down, the 26 Foot Grant, the Community Development Block Grants, the Eden New Storage Reports. Like I say, because our storm drain study is way outdated by 20 years, so that'll be coming up. Also, we're going to redo, update our CIP, stuff like that, to even use these monies toward. And usually that's paying an engineer. But
so on that part, the program for the reviewing that and updating it, is it any engineering group can do that? Can any engineering group do that?
Yeah.
So
Interstate does it with us.
Well, Interstate does it with us, but what about Engineering West? Can they put in a bid to do it too?
I don't know if Travis does.
Okay.
CIPs, capital improvement plans.
Yeah.
And grant writing.
Yeah, I don't know if he does the grant. I don't know if he has the staff or.
If we get approved the grant, we have to do an RFP. So we have to request for
someone. CIP.
Yeah. Well, no, we have to do a request for professional services.
To do the grant.
No, not to do the grant, to get an engineer to do the capital improvement plan.
That's what I just said, yeah, I thought.
It is confusing.
It is.
Not necessarily.
And that's kind of...
You've seen it.
Kind of what Peyton's making, at least what I understand, is the opportunity for a grant comes up, can he start the process? Or do you want him to come and ask you if you can start the process?
I'd rather have approval come through here.
Okay.
You bring them to us, and we'll just say, yeah, go for it.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
And the CIP, I think, it was talking about it just since there was this letter written to you, Peyton, from Interstate that.
Oh, yeah, because they were talking about.
Yeah, they were talking about the CIP.
What you use it for, yeah.
2016 was done. I think they did that one. And then 2021, Kisha volunteered for some reason to do hers. And she did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't seem to think that she did. And according to this, anyway, it doesn't sound like they think she did. They think we need to be in a rush to do it for budgeting purposes. I don't know that that's true at all.
No.
I mean, we get a budget. We don't need a CIP to budget things, but the CIP is a tool that you can use, and it's interactive. And I don't know that we couldn't just update it ourselves.
That's what I wanted to do. I knew about these grants. Right. We discussed it in staff meetings us just doing it in house.
Well, I don't know if you want it. I mean, I didn't want to volunteer you, sure.
No, I mean,
because Kisha did it before. Kisha did it.
We get $45,000 of the grant money. They're going to take $10,000 of that right off the top.
Right,
I understand that. But I didn't know.
They're wanting to charge us $80,000 plus for a capital improvement plan.
Yeah. Right,
Kisha did it.
Even though we're getting this free money, we're still going to have to spend $40,000 to $50,000 out of our own pocket.
Right,
grants are good. Sometimes.
Grants are good, but if we can do something
in house, I didn't realize that if you wanted to take it on updating
we'll
that CIP. I mean, if our staff wanted to take the CIP I'd much rather see that. Kisha did a great job. She did. We had public involvement. We went through all the proper steps. It took quite a while.
That's why we thought it would.
Just for the CIP, I don't see why
so
you need a grant
this,
to do that.
No, sorry, Dennis.
Yeah.
Grant, or this isn't an actionable item tonight, but would if Peyton brings us a grant opportunity, would it then have to be an actionable item for us to vote on? I guess that's what I'm not understanding, yeah. Because if we hire department heads to do this stuff, I don't think that lot has to be an actionable item for us.
No.
I think there's two separate things we're talking about there.
I don't think we're going to go after the grant if we do it ourselves.
He's talking about any grant.
I guess I'm thinking we're talking two different things. Yeah.
But if our staff thinks they can do a CIP, there's no need to go for a grant.
Okay.
But I'm aware of them, right? Correct?
But you were talking about other grants, right?
The planning for the storm drain update, plan update, you know, something.
And your question on that was, do you just go ahead and start on said grant for whatever was to pop up, or do you have to get approval from us prior to? And I'm saying I don't think that every grant that he comes up with needs to be an actionable item on council. That's why we have a public works head.
It's also a budget item, though. There's costs involved for sure. It's not just something free. There's always matching.
Yeah.
So that's why price should be brought to you guys, because hey, we're going to get this grant, we're going to get this free money, but we're still going to have to spend our taxpayers' dollars as well.
Yeah.
So that's why maybe it's good to be an action item for you guys.
Yeah.
So you guys are making that decision.
Yeah. Okay. I'm up for
that.
It goes to 3,000, say for the application, like whatever Rebecca was saying. It's still got to come up, where it's still going to come to council, because you have to have a resolution saying you're going to be maxing funds or kicking a certain amount or you still have to have. So
but that still
eventually
doesn't.
Eventually, it's going to come to you guys.
It will come to us anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just a matter of starting the process if you guys want
to. If it comes to us via resolution and we can say, oh, okay, we have the money for this, so on and so forth.
So let me ask this question. So when the process starts, is that when that has to be, or is it if it's awarded, then we have to pay that money?
Well, that's why I'm seeing what you want. If I could start the process, I could lose $2,500 if we applied and didn't get it. But if we do get it, that's when it comes back and it's active. There's a resolution, because then it's all okay. It's a 10% match. Obviously, you'd see it in my report. Hey, I started for a grant for the storm drain project, you can get up to $50,000. I come back and say, hey, we got it. It's a 10% or 20% max, or on the hook for $15,000 or whatever, and then it comes in a resolution and whatnot for you guys, for the city that's going to match it. And then you could say no. You could say, nah, we don't want that, or yeah, we want that. What are we using it for? We use it for the storm drain. We get the free money and we pay the engineering out of that.
The initial cost wouldn't be in that resolution, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just if you lose, that's when it comes across. But I have no problem bringing it here.
That's fine.
As soon as I find out.
Okay. And I know you just found out about this one on November 1st, but what is normally is the lead time you have on the grant? Do you know?
2 years, two.
Oh, a month or so, a month and a half, two.
As long as you know when they're coming up, it's, you know.
Typically the seasons of when they come out are usually the same, but it just depends on what the outlook is and how much money they have to give out. Sometimes they change. Sometimes there's bigger awards they can give. Sometimes it's less. And if we don't have anything going on, then obviously they wouldn't apply for it.
Anything else for Peyton?
You gave us a lot of stuff to read.
Yeah, you did.
The other stuff is just some issues that I've had recently.
There's some good things in here, and there's some things that,
well,
as far as I'm concerned, they're a little shaky. But
it's always good to have everything in writing, because
I understand.
It gets a little cumbersome.
I'd really like to, before we, hopefully this comes in a different kind of package or something, but I'd really like to sit down with you and talk about some of these things at your shop. If you got some time about meter pits, I don't like them much. I want to know why. The water modeling for anything other than a residential, does that include duplex, things like that?
No, because duplex.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They each have a separate service line by your code, too, so that wouldn't require it. Because you don't do. No, it's just having things in writing, because trying to get things done the proper way.
Right. But meter pits have never been part of our ordinance requiring them ever, so.
Right, but in your standards that you guys approve,
doesn't allow.
It calls out meter pits exclusively in there and what they're supposed to be done with them. And then we have them now that they're confined space entry. And we don't do confined space entry because we're not going to spend all that money and have a permitting process and all that. So then it needs to be put into a conforming pit.
If it's in, if it was in there, then it's not sure how good it is.
Yeah, it's tough to enforce things when they're not in writing.
I don't like the idea of a meter pit, especially I'm concerned about what it's going to cost a person to not only put it in but maintain it. There's all kinds of fittings in a meter pit. You know, I'd much rather have those fittings accessible somewhere rather than in the ground, you know, in case something goes wrong. Especially if they're Well, I understand the reasoning behind that. But we can talk about it all night long if you'd like. I'd rather do it at your office.
No.
I'd rather you do it at his office.
Me too.
Thanks, Peyton.
Yeah, thanks, Peyton.
City attorney, Brian, you have anything?
I just wanted to point out something for councilors in my report, give a little bit of background. So I'm in contact with the manager over at Farmers Union. They are going to... They want to withdraw their offer to purchase the Superfund property. I think we got an update a while ago that basically after we got already approved the purchase, we've been contacted by the EPA folks and they advised that they had not seen or reviewed any plans for the property. And so Farmers Union, they got a consultant on board. They reached out to the EPA. The EPA wrote a letter basically expressing their concerns. They wanted to put them right over the block placement, and the EPA did not like that, but didn't say it was possible. Well, long story short, they don't want to buy the property anymore because I think they don't want to go forward and deal with the Superfund liability and all that. So the manager wrote an email last week advising that they wanted to withdraw the offer, given the EPA concerns and the fact that it looks like a tough road to climb to get approval for what they want to do on that property. So I had been intentionally holding off on doing a buy-sell agreement because when I had heard the EPA hadn't even looked at the plans yet, what's the point? They wanted to buy something easy for them. So they're not going to buy it.
Okay.
Questions for us?
I didn't have a report this week. Nothing exciting.
Any public comment on current agenda items? No committee reports, no unfinished business. We'll move on to new business. First item is approval of a special use permit to Beartooth Bible Church to the Railroad Park and the Parade of Lights event for a public gathering for refreshments.
Make a motion for approval of special use permit for Beartooth Bible Church to use Railroad Park.
Motion by Cole.
I'll second it.
Second by Tim. Any discussion?
The metal ring. I have a little drawing. I think they're just going to bring in some little metal rings.
They're probably the freestanding.
They're the free. I thought they were the freestanding ones.
Hopefully, it's still on the ground. All right. Probably
Yeah.
I thought I read in here they were freestanding.
I just saw it.
It's all grass.
This is 3.5
feet, I guess. Any further discussion? Where have I got a motion? A motion to second?
Yep. Let's vote.
Discussion? Rick?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Dana?
Yes.
Approve the board application for the Perry Knights to the City County Planning Board. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Rick?
Second.
Second by Dennis. Any discussion? Dan?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
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 Next item is the approval of conditional use permit for town pump. Do you want to approve?
I'll make that motion.
I have a good phone. You got it right now?
Further discussion?
Make a motion with the seven recommendations from.
I make a motion with the seven recommendations that Forrest has put forth in the plan, in the conditioning plan, and the approval or the submittance of the 600-foot ordinance change for alcoholic beverages.
Is that part of the condition?
That was my condition.
Was it? Okay. Oh, sorry. Oh, that's right. They were in the process of doing that. Okay, thank you.
Is there a second, or do you need a second?
I second.
One second. Now, very discussion.
Yeah, I just had a couple comments. So some of these other comments about landscaping that you had on the south side, does that need to be part of the conditions of approval, or are you guys just going to do it, or? I mean,
we're going to incorporate it, but if you would like to make that condition, we're 100% okay with that.
I'm not sure exactly how to word that, but we're talking about keeping some of the trees, getting rid of all the trees, or putting some landscaping on the south side between the two properties on the property line, or what are we, what can you help me with some wording for us?
Councilman, I think you can, it's really up to you all what you want to require and how prescriptive you want to get.
I don't want to get too prescriptive.
You can go something as specific.
It was a concern of Webb's, property owners adjacent property.
Something as specific as telling exactly what type of buffer you want to wear, or you can be as general as applicant shall install some type of buffer along the south side of the property.
That works for me. Also, and I have one other thing. There's an existing drainage facility inlet on the north side of 8,
yeah,
and that's all incorporated into this, right?
I sent those changes to Craig, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's going to be part of this drainage, because it was part of the original agreement we had with town pump back in the 80s, I guess. So.
Yep. I got a little confused about the drainage area down the front where I live. That's going to be inside the fence on the east.
On the east, it's the fence goes
all the way down to the corner.
Yes.
Okay.
As far as the south side of the pond, up in the air, whether you want that behind the detention, south of the detention pond, or north of the detention pond.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is for you guys. Is it on the east side of the?
It goes all the way down the east side.
Past the detention.
The detention pond doesn't, but the fence does.
The fence does. Yeah. From here to here.
Detention pond is on the south, and certainly we're open to what you guys want, but what I would recommend, there is fence on the north side of that property with vegetative screening on the south side, so that we do have somewhat of a transition from that parking lot into the rest of the properties there.
Just don't depend on south and drainage.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that needs to be an additional condition.
It can be.
We knew there was going to be something there anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I've already given Craig to go ahead to put it into our project, put the fence on the north and the vegetation trees along the top edge of the south side of that pond. Certainly, if there's anything different that you folks would like to see, we're open to input there. But, okay.
And that's going to keep them from backing into your pond?
What's going to keep them is we're actually going to add, I've had that problem with trucks before, and as you guys have probably seen, we use concrete blocks. They don't work, they just get pushed around. So we're actually going to install guardrail along the east truck parking and the south truck parking, because otherwise they'll be taking that fence out.
Mm-hmm.
Out, so.
Yeah.
Is there still those Jersey barriers out there?
The
Jersey barriers?
Along 8th, yes, there are.
Are they still there? Yep. What? Because those were basically ours,
really?
The city's, but I didn't know if we want them or.
Well, yeah. You're certainly welcome to them, because with the new design, we won't have to use for them. So.
I'll take them back.
You bet.
I think they were put there because the trucks were going over the curb and, right?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Holton, I think you could add, I put together some language for condition number 8. Applicant shall install fence on the north side of the retention pond and a vegetative screening on the south side of the pond.
Okay. I'm good with that.
So do we have to amend?
Do we have to amend that?
Well, we can just kind of scoot along and say that's one of the conditions, and you've already said subject to conditions.
Right.
Are you okay with that?
Yep.
You okay?
So if I'm gonna, let me just kind of butt in here. So is this what Forrest just said, would that be something council, like maybe it's condition number 8?
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So how about we have a motion to amend to add that 8th condition, and then a second, and then vote on the motion to amend, and then we can vote on the overall motion as amended afterwards. So there'll be 2 votes.
Okay. Need a motion to amend?
I'll make that motion to amend.
Motion by Rick.
Second.
Second by Dennis. No discussion. Rick?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Motion to amend passes. Now we need another motion to approve.
We did that one.
It's already been.
With addition of number 8.
Any further discussion on the motion to approve? Dan?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Here. Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion passed. Any questions? I think we're going to spot you as possibly could.
You did just fine. Thank you for your time.
Entertain a motion for approval of the resolution 862-2024, amending the retention budget for fiscal year 2023-2024.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We don't need a reading, do we?
Need a waive the reading.
Need a motion to waive the reading of Resolution 862-2024, amending the expenditure budget.
I make a motion we waive the reading of Resolution 862.
Second.
Second.
Second by Dennis. Discussion. Rick?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Stanley?
Yes.
Motion to waive the reading passes. Entertain a motion to approve the resolution 862 amending the expenditure budget.
Make that motion.
Motion by Dennis.
I'll second it. Second by Rick.
No discussion. Dan?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next item is Resolution 863, document the 2024 area bill policy. Entertain a motion to waive the reading of Resolution 863.
I'll make that motion to waive the reading.
Motion by Tim.
I'll second it.
Second by Cole. Any discussion? Rick?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Motion
I'll make a motion we approve Resolution 863 2024.
I'll second that.
Okay, a motion by Cole, second by Rick to approve the resolution. Is there any discussion? Cole?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Are you trying to trick me here?
I would recommend.
Did we approve Terry?
That you? Yeah, we did approve
Terry. Man, I'm way off.
You said yes.
Whoa.
Shit.
Jenny,
you and I are going to be out of one club tomorrow.
It's all those drugs I've been taking.
You guys should read this. I'm not saying that you didn't, but I know I did. So I still have the little tags on. Just a awful lot of information about our town that's really good to know when you're sitting here trying to think all the things that you guys have to think about. Just to put that kind of information, to know it's in the background and to know you have a reference material is good. I know we still have a copy in the office, right?
Yeah, and then they've been all been emailed.
Do they have letter copies?
That's what I was looking for. I was going to read the red letter part, but I couldn't find them.
No.
In the one I
got.
I've got a red letter copy. Okay, next item is a change order two. Again, construction, T-handle project. Now it's a change order to bring total request for the cost of the project. 14,
4,
40,
13. That's just what Kisha sent me.
That's actually, if I can explain it, that's actually a savings on the overall project cost. So there's a balance of $14,440.13 over the original project cost that we can use to pay for some of the overages and some other stuff. So the rebalancing was there was a meter pedestal that was going to be put in. That didn't get used. That's that 1546.30. So they had to rebalance that back into the budget. And then shows a $14,000 savings in the overall project cost. We're going to use it because there's some offset costs in there. It's clear as mud, but that's not a charge at this point. So.
This is not a charge.
It's not a charge.
We'll have rain charges. Okay.
You will later, but not then. That was a joke. You're a fireman, not a funny man.
A motion for the approval.
I'll make that.
I'll second it.
I will do this one too.
Keep beating me, Rick.
You got it.
Rick?
Yes.
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 Taylor?
Yes.
Cole?
I remember.
Yes.
Yes.
That changes the time of the meeting. It all is.
Your meeting.
Airport board. From Mondays to Tuesdays.
That confused some people. Just that I've talked to me about. But it's just for the
airport.
Airport deal. Okay.
So next item is approval of bylaw change to allow the airport for to be on the second Tuesday of each month at 7:00.
I'll make a motion.
All right.
Tim's got it.
Tim got it.
Second.
I'll second.
Cole gets that. Is there any discussion? Dan?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Any comments on any items? None of the
Yes. I have one. Had a conversation with Terry Henderson, who is the grandson of Barb Henderson. We all know recently passed away. The mayor spoke at her funeral a couple weeks back. Conversation was had between Terry and his grandpa, Dennis, Barb's son, about an opportunity to maybe name the pool in her honor. And I told them that I would bring it to council, and if the council needs some kind of sponsor or anything for it, that I would be willing to sponsor that, because as what she's done for this community over her life was nothing short of phenomenal, and I think that would be kind of a really cool thing to rename the swimming pool in her honor. So I said I would bring it forward.
What's her name?
Barbara Henderson.
Does the pool have a name now?
No, I don't think the pool has any name. Okay, Columbus City Pool? I don't know.
Yeah.
So
we'll take that under advisement, figure out how to do it. We'll end up seeing it down the road. Don't let it go away.
I won't. I didn't know if there was something we had to, like, it had to be sponsored by one of us, or, you know, because I know we've named a couple of the baseball fields at Granite Peak.
So.
Okay. I won't let it go, though.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
Any other comments? Motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Luke, second by Dennis, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Should have made the kids come to this one. There's a lot of stuff.
I try to encourage them. As I get closer to the end of the quarter and grades are due, then they start looking for bonus points to get.
I did too. I'm still going through it on the computer. Yeah. I'm only on like page 10. Yes, it is.
It's a good history lesson.
Yeah.
At least they see that those people are involved.
Yeah.
And you've been here longer than me, so you know more.
The bad thing is, like, I wish I could.